This is Campus Journal program number 716 for Monday, January 25, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I've had some what I thought were rotten jobs before, but nothing I ever did seems as tough as what a man from Travis County, Texas does for a living. His name is John Stapp, and Monday through Friday, and sometimes on the weekends, he's a professional sewage diver. Really, the Stapp's job is to strap on a diving suit, mask, and breathing tube, and dive into a 60,000-gallon, 16-by-40-foot containment vat, and there, down below the surface, he does repairs with air-powered tools. Now, my guess is that doing this type of work would give most of us a real sinking feeling. But not John. He says it's very quiet and peaceful. And when he slips off his stinky suit, what's on his mind? Well, he says, I'm usually starved. Unbelievable. Now, there's a man with a great attitude. And it'd be easy for him, I would think, to feel embarrassed, even depressed about what he does. But he's learned to view it in a positive light. And you know, each of us have things that we don't necessarily enjoy doing at school or at home, on our job. But when we sit and fret about them or get ticked off because someone's making us do them, it doesn't make things any better, does it? No, it's when we choose to focus on Christ and then do the best we can in each task that we can live victoriously. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4 that everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So don't let circumstances drag you down. Develop a positive outlook that reflects Jesus' nature. Remember, it's not the job that makes the difference. It's the attitude. Well, that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Henning. Thanks for listening today. And I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal program number 717 for Tuesday, January 26, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And recently, some images I've heard of our national debt are about as staggering as the deficit itself. Picture stacks of $1 bills that reach to the moon. Or think of about 63,418 years worth of seconds. Each second representing a dollar for 63,418 years. That's the U.S. national debt. But now imagine yourself at the counter ordering a sandwich, fries, and a shake. And you reach into your pocket and, whoa. No wallet. Recognize that feeling? So, what's the difference between your situation and the government's? In one sense, none at all. Both are unable to pay, whether it's $3.50 or $2 trillion. And you know, that's how it is with our sins. Let's compare two people, okay? One is a disciplined person who tries his entire life to do what's right. The other is a lifelong criminal. Now, as much as their situations are unlike, the situations are alike in that whether the sins are few or many, each is totally unable to pay. But that's why God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, because we couldn't achieve that righteousness on our own. Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for our sins. And when we trust Him, Christ takes our sins and gives us His righteousness. So what is there for us to brag about? Our own goodness? I don't think so. You see, in terms of being righteous, we're broke. But listen, God, who is rich in forgiveness, willing to pick up the tab. And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. If you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, all you have to do is request one when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221 or when you write to Campus Journal Radio, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49555. Well, I'm Brian Henning, and let me encourage you today to consider what Christ did for us. You can't beat the price. This is Campus Journal program number 718 for Wednesday, January 27, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I don't know about you, but I always hated footnotes. Every time I wrote a paper, I had to haul out the old Turabian or some other format guide and meticulously reconstruct the stuff on the title page, making sure to get all the commas and periods in the right places. And then the hard part began, typing the footnotes without running the type off the bottom of the page. I tell you, footnotes and I have never been really close friends. However, as irritating as they are, I guess I have to admit that footnotes are important. Footnotes are important because our sources are important. If we quote a well-versed scholar, that helps. But if we quote from, say, Mad Magazine, we're no longer believable. It makes a huge difference who says things. But you know, that's also true when you start analyzing some of the tough topics you're trying to figure out in our world. For instance, when you hear people talk about homosexuality, we'll check out the footnotes. Who's the source? When you look for advice about dating, whom do you trust? When you get information about the abortion issue, where does it come from? You see, listening to the wrong source spells trouble. You're going to find success in the Christian life tough if you let the negative, ungodly sources of today guide your thinking. So footnotes are important. Consider the source. And that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Each monthly issue has entries for each day that you may find helpful in pointing you to the Bible, which is the best source for help in making your decisions. That's 1-800-653-7221 for a free copy of our printed Campus Journal booklet. Well, I'm Brian Henning. Thanks for listening today. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 719, for Thursday, January 28, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and would you believe a tobacco company spokesman who said that smoking in moderation actually prevents lung cancer? I hope not. But what if an organization that wanted to sell you something was a bit more clever? According to the New York Times, the Princeton Dental Resource Center may be such a group. You see, in the past, it's produced reputable newsletters on dental health and preventing cavities. And those publications were sent to dentists and passed along to patients. But recently, they produced one issue that contained some, well, questionable advice. It reported that eating chocolate might be as beneficial as eating an apple. This newsletter said, "The next time you snack on your favorite chocolate bar or bowl of peanuts, remember that if enjoyed in moderation, they can be good tasting and might even inhibit cavities." That sounds great, doesn't it? But before you run out and buy a truckload of chocolate, you might want to know that the company that funds the newsletter is one of the largest candy manufacturers in the country. Could there be a conflict of interest here, possibly? Well, no matter what the subject, we need to be on guard against people who twist the truth for their own selfish purposes. But you know, the most dangerous truth twisters are not candy companies. No, they're religious cults, which are notorious for twisting Bible verses to support their offbeat teachings. That's why we need to make sure that we know the truths of the Bible, because only then we'll be able to recognize truth from error. And only then will we not be duped by the fine-sounding arguments of some dangerous religious groups. Well, that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, then let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Henning. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 720, for Friday, January 29, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. And did you watch the Olympics last summer? Now, if you didn't, that's okay. Not everyone has to be a sports nut. But if you did watch, One of the phrases you heard often was dual citizenship, right? And one of the athletes with dual citizenship was a swimmer named Martin Jubero. Now, he's lived in the United States nearly all his life. He attends the University of Florida. He trains in this country. But when he touched the wall first in the 200-meter backstroke, he won a gold medal for Spain. See, because his father was born in Spain, Martin has dual citizenship, and he chose to represent Spain in the Summer Olympics. So when he received his medal, it was the Spanish flag that was raised in honor of this young man from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So with that in mind, let me ask you something. Do you have dual citizenship? I mean, are you a citizen of both the United States, or Canada, or Czechoslovakia, or whatever, and a citizen of heaven? Well, you are if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that gives you all the rights and privileges and responsibilities of God's kingdom, just as you have all the rights and privileges of the country of your citizenship. But another question then is, who are you going to represent? You see, just as Olympians try to represent their country, or countries, well, through top performances and respectable lifestyles, so we should represent heaven in the best, most moral way we know. So let's carry the banner of Jesus Christ for a world that really needs it. And that's how we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. Now, if you'd like to receive a free copy of our monthly printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. We'll send you a copy free of charge. That's 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday. This is Campus Journal, program number 721 for Monday, February 1st, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. And are you having a hard time concentrating lately? Can't seem to get motivated? Well, I'll bet I know what your problem is. You've been attacked by ennui. That's right. Ennui, spelled E-N-N-U-I. That's a word that means a feeling of weariness resulting from a lack of interest. Maybe a better word would be boredom. Now in the classroom, ennui might look something like this. While your body is stuck in a chair being lectured to, your mind and heart are drifting off into space. They don't hear what's being said because they don't care what's being said. Now you're out of it. You're bored stiff. But obviously ennui can affect more than your classwork. It can affect relationships too. Relationship with a friend begins to feel more like a bowl of soggy cornflakes than Rice Krispies with some snap, crackle, and pop. And so the result is a general lack of interest. You're flat out bored. So what can you do about it, especially when it happens to our relationship with God? Well, I'd like to offer this simple solution, especially as it relates to our relationship with God. The solution is appreciation. Think about Jesus Christ and appreciate again not only what he's done for you, but what he wants to do for you. And then make the choice to respond to him with a grateful and obedient heart. You know, as a result, instead of battling ennui, you'll be praising people, thanking God. Well, that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. And if you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, that may help your relationship to God and prevent ennui from getting to you. Just let us know. Our address is Campus Journal Radio, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49555. Or if you prefer, you can call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That number again is 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Henning, and remember that a thankful person is a happy person. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 722 for Tuesday, February 2nd, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And let me start today by telling you about a policeman in Indianapolis who was investigating a routine fender bender when, well, he ran into some trouble. The problem came after he interviewed the witnesses and arrested one of the drivers and wrote up the accident report. Because it was then that he realized that the guilty motorist was eating the report. Seriously, he was eating the report. Well, at that point, the officer made a lunge for the disappearing report, but he only got his hand caught in one of the bites. So despite his valiant effort, the report was destroyed. So, the officer, who now, of course, was highly motivated, tracked down the witnesses, recompiled the damaging evidence, and saw justice prevail in this case. Now, centuries ago, the prophet Isaiah accused the nation of Israel of trying to do the same thing, trying to get rid of the evidence to avoid the consequences. He saw them attempt to cover their tracks by running to Egypt to hide. They chose to hide rather than face their sin and seek the mercies of God. But, you know, I hope we can learn from Israel, because basically we do the same thing when we try to conceal sins that the Lord already knows about. What I hope we learn is that the dark path of cover-up always ends in the sunlight of truth. The escape is only temporary. How much better it is to admit our transgressions and confess them to God, call on His goodness and grace, experience His loving forgiveness in Christ, and be free of them. Because then we won't have to play that hide-and-seek game with God. Because I tell you, that's a game that we are going to lose every time. And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just request one when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 723 for Wednesday, February 3rd, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And whether you're into cars or not, take the following tale for a spin, because it's a classic. You see, Harold Johnson was your average college student with an above-average automobile. He tooled around in a 62 Corvette. Now, the year was 1971, and as Harold stepped out for some fresh air during a break from a night course he was taking at a South St. Louis technical school, well, he noticed something disturbing, and that was that his car was gone. So he reported the stolen car to the police, but they had no clues, no leads, and unfortunately, Harold had no insurance. So two words come to mind here: total loss. But now let's fast forward 21 years. The year is 1992, and there's a knock at Harold's door. It's the police, and they have his car. You see, someone had recently applied for a new registration on a 62 Vette, and the vehicle identification number led the police to discover that, well, the new owner had unwittingly purchased the car from the thief. So, Harold had his car back. Now, by the way, Harold originally bought this car for $1,300 back in 1969. His well-kept Vette is now worth more than $25,000. Sometimes sad stories do have happy endings, don't they? And one that comes to mind like that from the Bible is that of Joseph. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. But God was with Joseph, and he brought him from being a glorified houseboy to the number two ruler in all of Egypt. And believe me, his brothers were as surprised as Harold Johnson when they saw how much Joseph's value had risen. So listen, it may seem like life is really sticking it to you right now. But don't quit. Like Joseph, keep doing God's will and trusting Him, because who knows? A blessing even better than Harold's boomerang Corvette may be coming your way. Well, that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 724 for Thursday, February 4, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and it all started for Don when he received that expensive new gas grill for his birthday. Now, for the man who had everything, this was a perfect gift for Don, because he loved that grill. He used it often and always cleaned it up meticulously when he was done. And he realized just how much he cared for that thing when it came up missing one day. He was furious. He sulked and carried on for days. But Don was caught up short one day when just a few days later he pulled in the driveway and found his grill there with this note attached. It said, "Sorry we couldn't ask before we borrowed your grill to entertain out-of-town guests. Apparently you weren't home. Please accept these box seat tickets to a Detroit Tiger game. Dinner was great. Thanks, Lowe's." Signed, a neighbor. That's great, isn't it? Happy ending. Well, maybe not. You see, feeling a little embarrassed by his reaction, Don and his wife took up the offer of their anonymous neighbor and left early one Friday afternoon for a night at the ballpark. However, the real surprise came when they returned home from the game to a totally empty house. Everything was gone, including the gas grill. Don had been set up by a very professional thief. And you know, we've been set up too. You see, Satan does his best to rob us of all that we enjoy in Christ by distracting us. He gets us interested in things that look really good, while all the time he's taking away what's really important. 1 Peter 5:8 says he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But don't be robbed blind by the evil one. Take Peter's advice later in that verse when he says to be self-controlled and alert. Don't walk away unprotected. Resist the devil. Stand firm in the faith. And that advice is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. And remember, for a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 725 for Friday, February 5, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. And, you know, for more and more college students, going to college doesn't necessarily mean moving away from home. According to a recent report in the Washington Post, now more than half of all freshmen are living at home and starting their education at community colleges. Obviously, living at home and commuting to college has its advantages, especially financial ones. But it also has disadvantages. A commuting student, for example, often feels out of touch with the social and cultural atmosphere that a resident on-campus student enjoys. So some schools are trying to help commuters feel like they are an active part of campus life. For example, at the University of the District of Columbia, commuter students are required to try at least 2 extracurricular activities. Now, the coordinator for this program observed that the longer the student is involved in those activities, well, the longer we'll keep him or her here at school. And, you know, I think a similar phenomenon occurs among church attenders. I don't have statistical data to back this up, but it would seem that those who do no more than show up for worship services and have no other involvement in the church, we're not going to feel like part of the church family. On the other hand, those who do get involved in a small group class or a Bible study, or who take part in some ministry at the church, they will feel more at home, and they'll be less likely to drop out or move to another church. So let me ask, how are you and your church getting along? You see, if you feel like an outsider, maybe it's because you are. So stop commuting. Get in there and get involved. And that's how we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Hettinger. Thanks for listening today. Hope you have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday.